Do you know that from your position, you can change your situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully as God's servant brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Shout hallelujah. All right. I want to share with you something that the Lord laid on my heart some time ago, and then he brought it up to me again this morning while I was meditating and praying very early this morning around 2 a.m. Praise God. And then he said to me, I want you to tell my people this, and I want you to teach it to them. The teaching anointing is on me to do so. Amen? Praise God. I want to share with you something very vital and important. It is titled, Living in Honor. Hallelujah. Living in Honor. Praise God. I shared a part of it with the mentees, all right, but they didn't get it all. I just encouraged them. Amen? Praise God. So, do not rejoice too much. Amen? That you have gotten it all. No. Rejoice that much more is coming. Amen? Glory to God. All right. Living in honor. Let someone say, living in honor. One more time. Say, living in honor. Good. Let me start by saying this. I wrote a poem here that the Holy Ghost gave me. Amen. So I will read it to you. The meaning and gravity of the word honor is fast eroding in our contemporary age. Many are wallowing ignorantly in shame and dishonor because they have sacrificed honor for passing temporary, mundane, fleshly gratifications. Many do not know the difference between glory and glamour. Some have even taken the game for the fame. There are countless others who seek popularity at the cost and value of their conscience. Some have even given up their sense of self-worth for acceptance with this world, going for favor at the expense of honor. It's undoubtedly the reason a good number of people fail to attract grace in their direction. It is therefore of immense importance to the believer to redeem honor back again. Hallelujah. Yeah, that was what came out of my spirit this morning. Glory to God. Now, let's teach it line upon line, precept upon precept. Honor is fast eroding in our community today. A lot of people do not know what the word stands for. The gravity, the importance of it is fast eroding. And it is God's will for that word and its meaning to be reinstated in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are the light of the world, a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. Now what that means is if there's going to be any standard in our society, in our community, we are going to set them. We are standard setters. That means God has set the body of Christ as the defining parameter. We are the defining parameter in our society. If anything is going to be right, we are to make them right. If there are things that are wrong, we are to make them right. We are the light of this world. Amen? There's a world of difference between glory and glamour. The glory of God is the very essence of God that is bestowed upon another, so much that he, the one who is the beneficiary of that glory, is seen in the light of God's glory or honor. Glamour is what is born out of the flesh. It's a make-believe. Glamour is a make-believe. It is something that you do, create, institutionalize for all eyes to see and respect you or call you honorable in the society, so to speak. But that's not glory. Amen. Glory comes from God alone. Honor comes from God alone. It's not something that you can create in your own self, by your own self, within your own class. God gives honor. Hallelujah. It is possible to be dignified without feeling guilty. There are a lot of people today who are dignified in the society, even in the church, who deep down in their hearts feel very guilty. In other words, their consciences do not agree to the dignity bestowed on them. There's a difference between character and reputation. Character is the strength of the man within and the products of that strength. Reputation is a function of what people say or see. The things they see and then the things they say, the accolades they bestow on you based on what they see on the outside, irrespective of the man on the inside, is called reputation. It's the glory of men. The accolades of men. The applause of men. So you can receive dignity without trading away your conscience. Amen? There is dignity with good conscience. And that is what God has for all of us. Amen? Dignity with what? Good conscience. It's possible to be dignified and at the same time have good conscience. Not that if these people knew me, they wouldn't praise me this way. All right? If they knew me, they wouldn't be praising me the way they are praising me. Why? Because deep down within you, you know that you are not the person they are praising. So it's possible to have dignity, to have honor, without trading away your conscience. The Apostle Paul said something of note. He said, this is the testimony. These are our rejoicing. Even the testimony of our conscience. He says, these are rejoicing. What our conscience says of us is our rejoicing. Not what people are saying. People may say things and you know that's not true. They may say things that are good, but you know that's not true. But the testimony of your conscience is your rejoicing. So it's possible to rejoice in the fact that you have received the honor of God that has fixed you on the inside. Your soul is fixed, strengthened, repaired, renewed. And you are satisfied with yourself before people get satisfied with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me define honor. Amen. You may write if you care to. It's a sense of dignity. Honor is a sense of dignity. The quality of good estimation of worth or value. The quality of good estimation of worth or value. Honor is a sense of dignity. The quality of good estimation of worth or value. That's honor. It could also be defined this way, an exclusive classification, an exclusive classification that separates from the crowd. It separates from the crowd. A sense of difference and proportion. That's honor. A sense of difference and proportion. An exclusive classification that separates from the crowd. A sense of difference and proportion. It could also be defined this way. Correct perspective to life. Correct perspective to life and destiny. Correct perspective to life and destiny. It could also be defined this way. Correct perception of significance. Correct perception of significance, purpose, significance, purpose, and a corresponding response to it. Correct perception of significance, purpose, and a corresponding response to it. And then lastly, it could be defined this way, the quality of knowing and doing what is morally right. The quality of knowing and doing what is morally right. That's honor. Hallelujah. That's honor. Amen. Now let me say this, that God is the apex of honor and the definition of it. God is the apex of honor and the definition of it. What it means is this. God is the one who is the zenith, the height of honor, and the definition of what it stands for. Nobody understands honor without God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, if you start the reading from verse 1, in the beginning God, you see God began it all. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 26, it says, come, let us make man in our image. You see, God began honor. And he is the apex of it and its definition. Amen? Nobody understands honor without God. Praise the Lord. Whatever God calls a thing or a being is the honor it carries. Whatever God calls a thing or a being, that's the honor that thing carries. When God says, come, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, man carried that honor of being in the image of God and after his likeness. When God created the sun to give light during the day and the moon light at night, the glory of the sun was of the day and the glory of the moon was of the night. Whatever God calls a thing, that is the honor it carries. So God is the apex of honor and its definition. A thing, and then bestows the same measure of honor upon that thing according to its name. His word then is the definition of honor. God's word is the definition of honor. The word of God is the definition of honor. God's word defines honor. Whatever God says is honor. God's word defines honor. Hallelujah. God's word defines honor. And another thing I want you to know is that the presence of God allocates honor. Amen. God's word is the definition of honor. The presence of God is the allocation of honor. To the measure you carry his presence, to the same measure you're honored. Hallelujah. When God created man, you remember in Psalm 8 it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than angels, but thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. You see, God placed his presence on man. The glory of God came on him, and man became honorable because of that presence. Honor was allocated to him by the presence of God. Hallelujah. God's plan for man is to live in honor. Never forget that. The plan of God for man is to live in honor. God wanted man to be so honorable as much as himself, because he defined it in the design of man. Genesis 1 and verse 26. It says, come, let us make man in our image, in our own image, and after our likeness. So God intended for man to carry the same measure of honor that is placed on him. That is awesome. He did not design man in the image of angels. He didn't design man in the image of beasts of the field. He designed man in his own image to function like him. Praise God. Meaning, God actually intended for man to live in honor. Amen. Lift up your right hand and say, I have a destiny to live in honor. My destiny is to live in honor. Come on, say it with some God. Say, my destiny is to live in honor. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you remember what happened? Man fell. He fell from honor to dishonor. Amen. Now understand this. Sin is dishonor. Sin is dishonor. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to anybody, tied to notwithstanding. Sin is dishonor. That means God never intended for man to live in sin. What is sin? What is sin? Amen. Sin is getting out of the definition of honor. God's word defines honor. Amen. God said to man, of all the trees of the garden, the fruit of trees of the garden, you may freely eat. But of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Honor was defined. So man stepped out of that definition to redefine honor. And so he fell from honor to dishonor. Sin is dishonor. Sin is reproach. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This dishonor into which man fell did not only affect his spirit, his very essence, his nature. It also affected his soul, the consciousness of his person. Hallelujah. The consciousness of his person was affected. So when man fell, his spirit became dishonor or dishonorable. His soul was cooled in the consciousness of that dishonor. So man fell from honor to dishonor. The Bible says a man of honor who does not know it is as the beasts that perish. Hallelujah. Why? Because preservation is in honor. God designed us to be preserved in honor. Corruption is in dishonor. Hallelujah. So Jesus came into this world to pull man out of dishonor back into the honor that God designed for him. Amen. So he shed his blood. He gave his life. He gave himself to die in our stead, so that man would be redeemed from dishonor and then reinstated back into the honor that God designed for him. Amen? So Jesus did that. The blood of Jesus was shed to redeem us from dishonor. Amen? If you are here and you're born again, I want you to know this for sure, that you have been redeemed from dishonor. Amen? If you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you have been redeemed from dishonor. Glory to God. Say with your mouth, if you're born again here, say, I have been redeemed, I have been from dishonor. Say it again. Say, I have been redeemed from dishonor. Now you see, your spirit became born again by the finished works of Jesus, and you were recreated through the spoken word and the work of the Holy Spirit. And now you are a new creation person in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. And that was the beginning of restoration of honor. Salvation. Let's all say salvation. Say it again. Say salvation. Yeah, it began with salvation. But that's not the end of it. Because the soul of man had been schooled because of the fall. Don't forget, if you're following me, all right, you understand that whatever I say, I pick my words carefully. Amen. The soul of man had been schooled in dishonor. At salvation, you're born again. Your spirit is redeemed from dishonor. But there's dishonor in your consciousness. That means you've been taught to think dishonor, to see dishonor, to yield to dishonor, because that's the awareness of the soul. Now let me say this. You may write it down if you care to. The spirit of man gives him his reality, his essence. His soul gives him his personality. His body gives him his physicality. All right? The very essence of man at salvation was saved, recreated, redeemed to start with, and then recreated. Praise God. And then taken away from corruption. So you see, dishonor is not in your spirit. The essence of the Christian is honor. Honor is your essence. Grace is your essence. Glory is your essence. But the awareness of your personality has to be schooled in that very honor. And that's why this teaching is coming our way. Glory to God. You have to be taught again and again and again. So your mind, your soul is restored, reinstated back into the honor that God designed for you. You can come into that awareness again. You can come back into it. Praise God. Now, let me say this very briefly, and then we'll go into the heart of this teaching. Amen. The erosion of honor is the exposure of shame. Amen. The erosion of honor is the exposure of shame. Kabod, the glory of God, ministers honor. E kabod, ministers shame. Kabod means the glory is upon him or upon me. E kabod is the glory is departed. All right? See that? For us to value honor, our minds must be renewed. Your mind must be renewed to honor for you to value it. Because if the mind is not renewed, it does not matter whether the person is a Christian or had been a Christian 20 years ago before the pastor became a Christian. If the mind is not renewed to honor, the value of honor can never be realized. So having been born again, mind has to be renewed to honor. It has to. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Now let me say a couple of things about dishonor. The reason I'm saying that is so that you can make that contrast and see what honor really stands for. Amen. Now look at this. Abuse is dishonor. Abuse is dishonor. We understand that sin is dishonor. Abuse is dishonor. Despise is dishonor. Respect of persons is dishonor. Familiarity is dishonor. Unbelief is dishonor. Hypocrisy is dishonor. Now, if you look at this, why is abuse dishonor? Abuse is dishonor because it's a wrong perception of purpose. Never forget that the correct perception of purpose, significance, is honor. It's a wrong perception of purpose. That's abuse. It is commonly said that when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Abuse is dishonor. Amen. See that? What else is dishonor? Despise, I said that. Discrimination or respect of persons. Familiarity. Unbelief. Unbelief is dishonor because the wrong perception of another person's worth. Amen. God is the Almighty. For you to disbelieve Him is to dishonor Him. He can do all things and you say, I'm not so sure. Alright? And that was what they did in the wilderness. Can God, having parted the Red Sea, having turned the bitter waters of Marah into sweetness, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And God says, me? Alright, this is what I'm going to do. I will furnish that table. Alright? Alright? It's going to be a table from me. But to you, it will be death. And God furnished that table for them. They ate. While they were still eating, the food is in their mouth. God smote them. And then, you see, have you seen someone, you know, eat before eating, and then the food is going into his mouth and coming out of the nostrils? Unbelief is dishonor. You see, I want you to know that familiarity is dishonor. Familiarity is getting used to the container without really appreciating the content. That's familiarity. The opposite of it is intimacy. Hallelujah. Now let's look at classification of honor. How honor is classified. Praise God. There's honor to God and there's honor to men. Honor to God and honor to men. Honor to God and honor to men. What does it mean to honor God? It means to perceive Him correctly and accord Him the same measure of response. In other words, perceive God correctly and do what He says to do. That's honor God, honoring God. For you to honor God, it means you must first and foremost perceive Him correctly. Who is God? You see, these are questions you ask in the school of honor. Who is this person? Who is God? God is the Almighty. God is the El Elyon. He's the Most High. God is Jehovah. He's the Elohim. The self-existing one who does not need anybody to exist. So how do you treat such a person? How do you accord such a person some respect? Amen. The one that wants to help you does not need you to exist. But He has come to help you. Do you despise such a person? The one who created you and gave you the very essence of who you are. He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. He gave man essence. He was just a dummy on the floor. No life, no nothing. Was not aware of himself. Didn't know what he could do, his possibilities. Didn't understand his destiny. Didn't understand his identity, his authority, his purpose. And then God gave him that essence. And then he became aware of himself. So for you to honor God, you must perceive Him correctly. Perception is very key in the school of honor. Perception. Let someone say perception. Say it again. Say perception. Now, perception is known as inward awareness of truth. Inward awareness of truth. That's perception. Perception is not external. Perception is not extrinsic. Perception is inward. It's internal. It is the awareness of truth within you. Praise God. You remember when that woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus and came behind the press, touched the hem of his garment? The Bible says virtue came out of the body of Jesus, healed her. She felt in her body that she was healed. The issue of blood had dried up. And then Jesus, I like the way evangelist Luke put the account. Jesus, perceiving in himself that virtue had gone out of him. All right, you understand that the virtue that went out of him was not physical. Was it physical? No. So his five physical senses couldn't have perceived that virtue. The perception came from within. And that was why his disciples were kind of confused. A lot of people are thronging you this way, and then you say to yourself, or you say to people who touched me, amen. Jesus perceiving that virtue had gone out of him. Let's not say perception. It's not a function of sight. It's a function of vision. Perception is not a function of feeling. It's a function of faith. Perception is not a function of what you can pick up from external stimuli. It has to do with the senses on the inside. Praise God. And for us to really walk in honor, we're coming to that, you must develop perception. If you don't develop perception, there are people that you would despise without knowing. Ignorantly, you despise them. All right? Jesus was the Son of God. True or false? Was born in a manger. True or false? How could the Son of God be born in a manger? So if you see someone and say, I was born in a manger, you don't want to greet the person. And then you see another person, I was born in the palace. You want to shake the person. True or false? The Bible says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. It's dishonorable. Now, the Son of God was born in a manger. Herod was born in the palace. The one that was born in the manger was greater than the one that was born in the palace. Talk to me. Hello? So it takes perception to really, really know the worth of the one that was born in the manger. When he asked them this question, who do people call me? What's my name around town? The disciples began to respond. Some people call you Elijah. Some call you Isaiah. Some call you Jeremiah. You know, one of the prophets and all that. And then he turned to them. What's my name among you? And then they were looking. But someone had perception. He received the revelation. Not with his head. He says, you are the Christ, Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now note what Jesus says. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood cannot perceive. It takes the spirit of man that has been sensitized to perceive correctly. So you see, perception. Look at Peter in Acts 10, when he came to the house of Cornelius, and then began to share with them the word of God. He says, I perceive of a truth that God is no respecter of persons. Now how did he know that? He had been taught as a Jew that God is a respecter of persons. Jews were superior to Gentiles. All right? But when he came into the house of Cornelius, he had to perceive. He says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. All right. Let's also say perception. Mm-hmm. Now, as we go on, understand that to honor God is to perceive him correctly and to do what he says to do. That's honor. Amen. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? See that? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. I mean, he wasn't talking to you. He said priests. Priests were despising his name. Are there no priests today under the new covenant who are despising his name? The Bible says we have been made kings and priests unto our God, which shall rule and reign on earth. There are priests that are despising his name, and God says, no, I don't want that. Teach it to my people. It's time to live in honor. Hallelujah. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. The bread that you cannot feed into your mouth, that's what you bring with dancing. God said that to priests. And then he goes on to say, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? You're still asking questions. In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. See that? And then verse 8, it says, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Blind lamb, blind goat. That's when what they would draw and say, the one that, you know, is fine, it's okay, we should eat that one at home. But the one that is blind and maimed, all right, since we are going to burn it with fire, so what is it? So let's bring that to God. Priests! And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Give it to your governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. You see that? Amen. We're coming to that bit by bit. Amen. Now get this. God wants us all to be conscious of the fact that he is the Almighty God and nothing is too big for him. All right, all right. Your life is not too big for God. In fact, if there was anything greater than your life, all right, God will be worthy, much more than worthy to receive it. All right? But you see, a lot of people think there are some things that are too big for God. No, there is nothing too big for God. If you perceive God correctly, you have to respond accordingly. That's honor. Let someone say, that's honor. Amen, that's it. Romans 1 and verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. You see that? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. They knew God. God revealed himself to them, but they did not glorify him as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Glory to God. Now when you come to church, do you really worship God like he is God? Or you just praise him because you think he needs your praise, so let's just give it to him. If you don't give it to him, he will be angry. Lord have mercy. Or you come before him knowing fully well that he is a great king. I love this song. I always sing the song when I worship God personally. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, side of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion, the side of the north, the city. God is great and greatly to be praised, right? Yeah. So when we praise him greatly. You see, don't look to your garment. Don't look to how you're looking or you're dressed. Don't look to your makeup. Amen. Look to him and worship him with all of your heart, knowing fully well that he is great. And he is greatly to be praised. Amen. Psalm 66 and verse 2. It says, sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. You see that? Sing it forth, the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. That means you know that God is exceedingly abundantly worth much more than you can give him. All your praise, all your best. God is worth much more than those things. So you just, in your own little way, you just want to praise him. Holy Spirit, just help me just to appreciate this God. Psalm 96 and verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him. See that? Strength and beauty are in the sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. You see that? Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. Revere him, all the earth. Glory to God. See that? Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of us saw that? If you saw that, amen, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now one more scripture under that. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. See that? To honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, have you noticed, please, have you noticed, all right, in Psalms 96, in verse 8, he says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Did you notice that he said, bring an offering? No, how many of us noticed that? Huh? Did you note that? Uh-huh. He says, bring an offering and come into his courts. Bring an offering. What does that mean? He says, there's no way you can truly honor God without bringing him an offering. And then Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Spells it out very clearly. Look at what it says here. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with thy respect. What do you honor the Lord with? Thy substance. I like the way our translation puts it. It says, honor the Lord with thy possessions. Glory to God. Because you see, the possessions of a man naturally, are his strength. He says, bring him strength and glory. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase, all thine increase. You see, when you tithe, not this way. You know, a lot of people tithe, but they tithe this way. All right? They spend and spend and spend and spend and spend and spend and spend. And they remember, my tithe. And then they come and then give it to God. God says, you didn't put me first. Honor is preference. Honor is priority. All right? You can't say you honor your husband and you eat all the big meat, pieces of meat. All right? And you now gather the bones and say, oh, call me, ta ta. And then you put it there. Look at you. That's hypocrisy. Honor means you serve him first. Honor is preference. Honor is what? Priority. You see, when you tithe and it's your tithe you remove first. Yes, you are coming with the same tithe much, much later. It's still tithe in terms of amount. But it's not tithe in terms of honor. Hello? How many of us got that? You remove the tithe much, much later. It's still tithe though. 10% of 1,000 naira is how much? 100 naira. It's still 100 naira you are bringing. All right? But that you did not remember the Lord your God as the one who gives the power to get wealth. All right? And you bring in much later. It shows that he was not really in mind. He was not in view. You just remembered. Let someone say honor. Honor is preference. Let someone say preference. Say priority. Yeah. So you tithe, bringing to him the first. You know, I say this. I say, well, if you really honor God, there are some things that you will not be taught again and again and again and again. You just know. Let me give you an instance. You just got a job, for example. All right? You can honor the Lord with the first fruit. That means that which comes first. The Bible says that which opens up the matrix, all right, is holy unto the Lord. And then that which opens the matrix, you bring it to God, knowing that the matrix was opened by God, and it is only God that will keep that matrix open for increase. And then you come with it and honor the Lord. You see, the attitude, the heart, the awareness that God is worth much more than whatever it is you have to give him. Note this. Exchange is the communication of honor. You cannot truly communicate honor without exchange. Exchange is the communication of honor. How do I communicate my honor for someone? There must be an exchange of value, significance, worth, an exchange of my strength, my glory, my possession. How do you communicate your honor to God in worship? All right, as you worship him, let your heart bow to him. Let your heart submit to him. And let your body be yielded to him. And say, Lord, you own it all. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. Thine is the power forever and ever. Amen. No flesh can glory in your presence. The only flesh that can glory in God's presence was or is the flesh that made itself. In the beginning, God and some human beings. And then God created another set of human beings. That's what the Bible says. In the beginning, God. Let someone say God. Uh-huh. So if he granted us life, then we can stand before him according that honor to him. You are my source. Amen. I want to say this to you. Source is more honorable than resource. Yeah. The builder of a house has more honor than the house. True or false? The driver of a car has more honor than the car. Source is more honorable than resource. We are resources. We came out of the source. God is the source. So honor means you treat him as such. If you don't treat him as such, it shows that you don't really honor him. You can't wake up in the morning and then look straight into the eyes of your boss and slap him. That means you've designed, you have another job. You understand? You know? And that's what it means. Praise God. You see what I'm saying here? You honor God in worship. Now, what defines honor? The word of God. What allocates honor? His presence. Anywhere God's presence is, his honor is there. Did you hear that? Anywhere the presence of God is, his honor is there. Now, this is a house. Right? But what do we do in this house? We worship God. This is an auditorium, right? But what do we do in this auditorium? We worship God. Who do we worship in this auditorium? God. Now, for you to come into this place and then you eat an orange and then the leftover, you'll now be playing all around. You say, we are the house of God. It does not matter what is happening. You see, listen very carefully. Don't be deceived. Yes, we are the house of God, all right? This is not his dwelling place in terms of, you know, where he dwells permanently. We are the house of God, right? But the honor of God is here because his presence is here. Who do we worship here? God. So you bestow that same honor. All right? Not that you chew the gum, and then you now take the remnant and paste it on the chair. Bah! They will sort it out. All right? Someone says, well, it's just one of those things. Hallelujah. Look at you. Lord, have mercy. Amen. That's dishonorable. The presence of God is in a place, you honor that place. Because God's presence is there. All right? People who do such things, they can dishonor the temple of God, their bodies. You know why? Because they are not aware their bodies are the temple of God. They don't know. Anywhere God chooses as his own, anything God places his presence upon. How many of us, you know, you have daddies that they have special plates? Wave your hands. For you to go and say, who is that daddy, sir? Bring that plate here. I will eat with the plate. All right, what it shows that you are dishonoring your dad. And that was what happened to Reuben. All right? He entered into his dad's wife. He said, yeah. This is the height of dishonor. He bit mo tin jeun. He won not gbe sibi oko kowo bo beyen. Yeah. He says, though you should be the excellency of my strength, he says you will never excel. That's dishonor. You see, we have to teach. The Lord said, teach this thing. He said, my glory is going to be strong upon the church. And if my people don't walk in honor, many of them will die before their time. Someone say, no, that's not God's word. 1 Corinthians 11. Amen. What happened? I mean, the communion set and all that. And then they were rushing. And then people will be eating bread. And the other people will drink wine. And then they'll be fighting. Paul said, what? Don't you discern the Lord's body? You think this is just ordinary bread? Don't you know the significance? This bread is attached to something. This wine is attached to something. Ha! It's not the kind of bread you eat at home and then you say, okay, you are partying and then you're fighting over rice. Who is going to finish it? Who is going to take the bit? That is rice as it relates to feeding your body. Both your body, your belly, and the rice. He says God would destroy the two of them. Are you listening to me? The body is for the Lord, not for fornication. And Paul said, because you didn't discern the Lord's body, you know what happened? He says, many of you are weak. Many of you are sick. And then many of you are asleep. That means they died. Amen. Now to look at an offering bowl and desire the money inside it. Hey. It's like sleeping with your mother before your father. And then you are telling your father, "Ntoba fe se ni o se." That's what it means. What God has called his own, that is holy and set aside to him. It's like you are saying, you are doing this to God. What can you do to me? That's what it means. I will take that money and answer you. Let's see what you can do. It is called dishonor. And you see a lot of people in church. Church is stealing from offerings. Ushers! Hey! When they say something belongs to God, there's something that must come to mind. God must come to mind. God must be in view. Now this belongs to God. Let's honor God. All right? Ryan Bonke came to minister in Nigeria, a particular state, I won't tell you. All right? He ministered there. Of course, he does not go home with the offerings. He leaves the offerings with the pastors there, and then the converts, the people that are saved, he surrenders them to the pastorate of the different churches there so they can groom them and follow them up in Christ. And then he immediately stepped down from the crusade stage. All right? Pastors began to fight over the offering. You did not do anything. You didn't work. And then news came to him. He had to come and beg them. He came with books. Those that had like 30, 40, 60 people in their churches, all right, they collected like 600. And just kept them there for the glory of the fact that they have books there. The books that the man of God brought to be shared, to bless people. Look at that sense of dishonor. And then you now know the reason why people just shout without grace. Hey! You're blessed! And nobody is blessed. Nothing is happening. And then you wonder why now you just be shouting and screaming. Well, another person will come, there's someone here, and then he says something, and it happens, and testimonies, all right? Don't forget this. Grace is attracted to honor. Grace is attracted to honor. Grace is attracted to honor. Projects in churches, you wonder what happens with projects. Someone will come with a bill and inflate it. Is it not church money? Is it your father's money? Is it your father's money? Is it not church money? Is it not all of us that contributed the money? So what are you saying to me? The pastors that are there, you know what they are doing. That it is called God's. God's. All right? Give him that honor. Don't play with it. Someone was sharing a testimony of, a pastor that went to a particular business person. They used to use that place for their car park. I won't mention the church. And then went there and then told the person, said, well, you see, our church people will come to you. Tell them that it is so amount of money. All right? And then the difference will be mine. We'll sort that out later. And then the person now said, I'm a Christian, no. I can't do that. Am I not a pastor? What are you saying? Do the thing, Jare. You don't want to make it. In church, if people that give offerings, they will recognize. Oh, you better be smart. And then, the man just logged out. The businessman logged out. He shared that with us. My wife was there, right? And he was pointing to the church, that church. I shook my head. I said, Lord, have mercy. And that's why anything happens to people, all right? Be careful what you say. Which kind of God is this self? And this God that we are serving? Eh? Why did God watch that? Because secret things belong to God. When you stand before him that day, you say, God, you are just to... Eh?
He did this one.
Glory be to you. In fact, you are the Holy One. So God will judge some people so that they are not judged alongside with the world. Christians, he judges them fast. Paul said, what? When you are gathered together with the Spirit of the Lord there, my Spirit will be there. All right, in prayer, commit such a one, 1 Corinthians 5, to Satan for the destruction of his body. Someone that took his father's wife and was proud of it, came to church, the father was sitting beside there, a deacon in church, and then all of them deacons. And they sat down there, all right, and they will come and give testimony. Praise the Lord. We are in the era of dominion. The righteous shall take it by force. In the house of God. Pastors having girlfriends in the house of God. Don't go near that person. That's pastor's girl. You understand? Mark, eh? If you don't want wahala, leave pastor's girl. That's pastor's babe for you. In the church. Why is it like that? Because the fear of God is no longer in view. People have lost the sense of honor. Praise God. Lord have mercy. Amen. So there's no way you can truly honor God without bringing to him your substance. You see, when you come to church and your offering, sometimes I prepare my offering, I put my offering in the car, all right? And then I send Pastor to go bring my offering. If your offering is an afterthought, you do not really honor God. Offering. Do you go to the market doing like this? Your offering is an afterthought. That means you just say, okay. Your offering must be prepared because you are honoring God. You see, much more than, even if it's 20 naira, if it's 100 naira, if it's 500 naira, if it's 1,000 naira you are giving it in honor. And say, God, this is too small compared to your worth. But in my own little way, I just want to say thank you. You remember that widow that gave the last 2 mites she had? Jesus sitting over the treasury, supervising their givings. The people gave, the rich people gave. She looked at Jesus. She looked at her life. She looked at what God has done for her. And she felt, my whole living is not enough to honor God with. So she just came and then cast the whole thing there. She didn't mention that to Jesus. Jesus knew by word of knowledge that was her last. Amen. If you put your belly first and then God next, all right? Your belly is your God. Because you want to buy clothes for Parakpo, all right? And then, and co. You say, well, this tithe will wait, I must not be dishonored amongst my equals. When people are wearing their clothes and they must see me too. God, you understand, don't you? The tithe will come next month. Praise the Lord. Honor God with your life. Honor God with your possessions. Honor God with your children. I can never have a child. We will be praying and you are being him. Not my house. Cartoon, put it off. They know I'm in charge. He says, fathers, he says to train up your children. He didn't say mothers. My wife is to assist me. Fathers, All right? God help you. We are praying in the city room, and then you say you have your own special prayer meeting inside. Amen. you can't have special prayer meeting, no. All right? When we are done with the collective one, you can go back. Praise God. I won't have a child that will say, hey, me, I'm not coming to church. And all that I am, I want to stay back at home. Doing what? Amen. When I look at you this way, you understand what it means. I don't have to talk twice. I just look, even these very little ones, Enoch and Joshua, just look and this. There was one, Enoch was playing with the keyboard there, all right, and was malhandling the keyboard. I said, no, don't do that, all right? He didn't answer. So I looked at him. So I could heighten his perception. I looked at him and then, he perceived honor. Amen. And then I said, come and sit down there behind me here. Sit down there. He sat down there. After I had left the place, you know, and then other people, he still sat down there. They begged him, no, please. They said, no, daddy said I must sit down here. There must be a figure of authority. That's not terrorizing your children, all right? But placing, just putting in them that sense of discipline, honor for authority. All right? And that's why, you see, a lot of students who have not been rightly taught, you look at your lecturer and you hiss. You know what you have just done? You have just despised God. Because there's no authority that be except that ordained of God. And then the man is teaching and sweating. I just turned back one time. I said, all right, many of you will say, well, he's a pastor, so he can condone a lot. I said, listen very carefully. If I catch you again, all right, laughing without any sense of purpose. Because I don't know the essence of laughter now. I was sweating there. And then, that wasn't funny. I said to them, I said, under God, all right, you will leave this class and you will never attend this class again till the end of the semester. And your F is sure. As God liveth. And then they adjusted instantly. I said, correct. No, I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. All right, there are some people they have to learn honor forcefully. People who can look at their parents, students, children that can look at that, children that curse their fathers and mothers. You see an elderly person, there's no sense of honor. And I mean, it's wrong. A lecturer came to see me, I think it was on Tuesday, and said to me that, it was one of the prayer meetings, and came to me that something happened. A student went out to receive a call, and then walked in front of the lecturer. Yeah. And then went outside to receive a call. And then the lecturer said, well, why did you do that and all that? He didn't answer. And walked back in and sat down. All right? And the lecturer said, get out of the class. If you don't get out, I will go out. Amen. And then he refused. So the lecturer went out. Reported the case to the HOD. All right? The HOD said, the discipline is that this student will not attend the class anymore and the student will fail the course. So she came, she said, I hope that thing was not too harsh. I said, no, not too harsh at all. It's fine. It's very simple. Amen? It's not too harsh. Praise God. Amen? The first time I had to whip one of my sons, I think it was Enoch, I said, we have to do this. Sit down there. He stood like this. I shook my head. I said, I say it again. Sit down there. And then he stood this way. I remove his pants with my hand like this, the buttocks. Tap, tap. And then he looked at me and said, yeah. I said, yeah. Ta, ta. And then he said, where do you want me to sit? Amen. I wasn't joking. I'm not oppressing you. I'm the one that God has committed leadership to in this house to maintain order. Oh, what that job I'm in now. Because God is going to ask me. Story. Ophni and Phinehas, the two sons, they were called sons of Belial. I mean, sons of a priest. When they say, ah, oh, sir, look at your children, and he said, God knows both good and he knows what to do with them. He knows he's God, Jerry, leave them. So why did God give them to you? Why did you become their father? What is the position of being a father? Amen. I said amen. Amen. Glory to God. Honor. Now let's move to honoring men. What does it mean to honor men? To honor men is to perceive them as God's image and accord them the respect and privileges due them without respect of persons, age, academics, or knowledge, or social status. Amen? You see people as the image of God. Let's not say image of God. Come, let us make man in our image. So the respect you accord people is a function of the God whose image they are. So you honor all men. How many men do you honor? All men. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says to honor all men. Glory to God. See that? Honor all men. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate or affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. That means we'll give honor to your neighbor first. Amen. I was teaching in a single summit. And then I said that I want to see if or whether some of you are really ready for marriage. So I brought out two chairs. Hallelujah. Can I have those two chairs, please? Thank you. I placed two chairs in front here. And I called for a brother who was really willing to get married and thought he was really ready. And then another sister who was willing to and was ready. I said, these are the two chairs. I want to see the first person that will sit on the chair. I mean, sorry, it was one chair. Yeah, it was one chair. Thank you. And then I want to see the first person that will sit on the chair. So the brother ran and the sister ran and he pushed her. Rah! Get out of my way. Who do you think you are? And then people say, ah. And then I asked the people, I said, all right, is this brother ready to get married? In honor preferring one another. Amen. What it means is this. Give that other person the right of way and then you go thereafter. Right of way. Praise God. That means in the church of God, if we put this principle first, we will not be fighting for position. No, I have to be the chairman of this one and all that. And you see all kinds of rivalry, unhealthy competition, unhealthy rivalry in church because of not honoring the other person. Well, if you want to be the chairman, then no problem, you can go. All right, I will support you. Someone says, well, I can never play the second fiddle. I'm the head, not the tail. Above only, never beneath. It's a covenant with God. I will never serve my mate. All right? And you think the person is right, whereas it's just what is known as pride of life. Let someone say pride of life. It's of this world. It's not of the Father. In honor, preferring one another. So honor that person first, and then God will bestow honor on you. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear or reverence to whom reverence. Honor to whom honor is due. See that? Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility, so you have to prefer the other person to yourself. Because when you humble yourself, God will honor you. If you seek to honor yourself, God will demote you. Praise God. That means consider others first in privileges and rights before yourself. As a man, a husband, buy your wife clothes first before you buy yourself. Amen. Buy her clothes first. During Christmas, the budget must cover your wife and your children first before you think about yourself. That's honor. You ask my wife, she's here. All right? There are times I save to give her money to buy clothes. My suits, you see, that's one thing about me. My clothes, they last very long. It's the grace of God. If I tell you how long I've been wearing this suit. Amen. When we went to the UK, that was last year, August. Amen. I bought this suit. You see, it's looking like it's new, right? It's the grace of God. My wife has worn many suits. All right? Lady suits. And the truth is, God knows that I'll put her first. So my things last very long. Praise God. Yeah. My shoes are almost everlasting. I have belts that there was one I wore and wore and wore and wore. I wore it to a point. I gave it to Pastor Laolu. Pastor Laolu continued from there. Alright? And then one day I needed belts. You know, I didn't come to church with my belt, so I got that belt again. I started wearing it again. And, you know, it's just like that. Glory to God. Put that person first. In church here, even if we don't have so much to deal with at that time because we had to attend to projects and all that, I tell the people in charge of salaries, pay the workers first. They say, what about pastors? No. Let's give it to them first. That's honor. And if you honor people, put them first, that's how to take the lead forever. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. See that? So honor all men. Their status notwithstanding, please, if there are people that are very low to you status-wise, there is a way to talk to them. All right? Those cleaners in our place of work, you don't say, oh yeah, yeah. Come and clean. And if you don't clean very well, I know what to do. You don't threaten people. Is that okay? For some of them, many of them, they, you know, I think we have about 3 or 4 of them on our floor where I work. Amen? I would say, Ekaromao, you know, I'm speaking in Yoruba now. Ekaromao, Ekpeleo, and let Ejoteba Shetan. God bless you. With dignity. You see, when you talk that way, the person feels like, because I'm sweeping and I'm being treated this way. God lift my head. Oh, Lord have mercy. Even helpers at home, talk to them with dignity. Amen? Even the so-called, Omosheshewa, talk to them with dignity. Don't talk them down. All right? Talk to them with dignity. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's honoring others. You are to honor your pastors under honoring men. You are to honor all men. Honor your pastors. Let the elders that rule, 1 Timothy 5:17, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. See that? Let the elders that rule well be counted of double honor. All right? Now, honoring your pastor simply means you respect him for who he is, and then you communicate value. You communicate significance. You communicate substance to him because you honor him. Galatians 6:6 says, those who are taught in the word of God should communicate with their teachers in all good things. You are communicating honor to your pastor. Now, for a pastor like me, it's very easy not to honor me. You know what I mean? Not respect now. Because you feel like, what is it that I want to give pastor? Pastor is blessed. May the Lord continually increase him and take him to the next level in Jesus' name. During the era of Kenneth E. Egan, all right? People say, they say to God, I say, Lord, we'll keep our pastor poor, and then you just keep him humble. In other words, you see, if he begins to receive so much, he will be proud. But that's not good. Amen? That's dishonorable. You are to honor your pastor. Amen? No matter how little, communicate. You have received God's word, communicate something. A bottle of wine. You see, it is wrong for you to come visit your pastor empty-handed. Someone says, where is it in the Bible? Amen? Have you not read prophets of old? All right? Even Saul, he was looking for his father's asses that were missing. All right? And then wanted to go to Samuel, the prophet. The servant said, look, we cannot just go that way. What is it that we have to give the prophet? I thought they were in despair.
Right? They felt like, I know the prophet should understand now. We are looking for something, and then we'll now go and give prophet. This kind of this religion thing itself. Now, one for now. All right? They knew that there was no way they could communicate honor without honor. You cannot truly honor someone without an exchange of your substance. Let those who are taught in the word communicate with their teachers in all good things. If you really want to honor your pastor, yes, it's good you respect. Oh, hello, sir. How are you, sir? And then he sends you on errands. You do it with joy, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Above all, you have to take your substance and honor your pastor. Sometimes it might be as small as an airtime of 200 naira. Amen? Maybe Pastor Lalu just blessed you, ministered or said something in prayer that blessed you. Why not send it to him? You know his phone number. Send it to him and say, Pastor Lalu, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm honoring you with this. You have blessed me. I want to honor you. Amen? Or any of the associate pastors. Praise God. Do it! You know, it's very possible sometimes when you are shopping for Christmas, you forget your pastors. You just shop. And you are shopped up. You just shop. And then you just forget your pastor. Oh, pastor is fine. God will take care of him. Amen. Even if it's small thing, toiletries. Amen. Soaps. You see, if we do this thing consistently, all right, you'll see the anointing will flow without any hindrance in the house. It will flow. You see, all this dishonor is what causes this impedance, this resistance to flow. When you walk in honor, amen, the pastor will come up before he says, Father, the anointing is flowing. You know, I shared a testimony, an experience rather, that I had on campus while I was pastoring on campus. I had two sisters in church that I was pastoring. Anytime I went to visit one of them, I would open my mouth and say, Father, in Jesus, the anointing is already flowing. God is giving me a word for that person. I can flow freely in the anointing. The other one, B, anytime I go there, it's like nothing is flowing. I say, Lord, I know I'm anointed. What's happening here? So the Lord said to me, observe. So I began to observe them keenly. A, sister A, anytime I visited her, she would stand up with joy to receive me, and then she would go get me a cup of cold water. All right, Pastor, can I fix something for you? Can I do this for you? And all that. And then, while leaving, the sister will give me something, no matter how small. A pen, a notepad, something. The other one, I will come in. She will not even stand up until the friends were allowed. And now your pastor is around. He's welcome. I said, wow, I see now. And then the Lord said, teach on honor. I taught on honor in church. All right? There was a brother that never scored an A in his life. He was in part 4 at that time. In his whole life on OU campus. No A. Amen. And then when I taught on honor, he brought something. I think a tie. He said, man of God, I just want to bless you with a tie. I was a student, but I was called an anointed of God. You see, you honor your pastor because God has honored him. No man takes upon himself this honor, except he who is called, even as was Aaron. And then he brought the tie. I looked at the tie, and I needed a tie so badly at that time. That tie met
my need. So I lifted up my hand. I said, the God who has called me will honor you. And then the Lord spoke in my heart, excellence. And I laid hands on him. The power of God hit him hard. He was on the floor. Amen. That semester, out of 7 courses, he had 5 E's. Glory to God. Amen. You see that? And that anointing had been there. Because the A's that he couldn't score from part 1 to part 4 had been scoring the A's with ease. The anointing was flowing, but he could not partake of it because of dishonor. Amen. See? Number 3, honor your father and mother. That's the only commandment with promise. Others, they are without promise. You see that? Ephesians 6, from verse 2 down to 3, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth. You see that? When you honor your parents, you will live long. Wow, that's beautiful, isn't it? How many of us want to live long? Honor your parents. Does not just mean to prostrate for them and then just respect them. That's good. All right? No matter how small what you think you have is, apportion something to your parents. You say, well, I get the allowance from them to start with, so what do I give them? All right? If she uses weave on, how much is weave on? No, talk to me. Lady. Uh-huh. Huh? That might be. Uh-huh. It may just be. There are weave ons that are not that too expensive. Uh-huh. I don't know the price. All right? What else can you buy? My wife can.
You can get them hundies. You can get them handkerchiefs. You know, just bless them with something in a month.
That you can afford. Amen. Start doing that. Bless your parents. If someone says, well, no, you see, one prophet told me that my mom is a witch. And anytime I send my money there, there's always hardship that comes back. All right? That's not correct. Because the Bible does not spell it out. Honor your father and mother. They are not wizards and witches. That's not what the Bible says. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. If she's a witch, give her. In fact, that giving will bend her. So that she becomes very, very ductile and permeable in the hand of God. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Glory to God. I have things that I give my parents every month. And as God blesses me and moves me to another level, I change it. Not that, what do they need money for? I'm the 7th child. So, what after my 4, this one will give. And old people don't need money. All right? You are saying young people don't need to live long. That's what you are saying. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on earth. You don't want it to be well with you? All right? Let her decide. Let them decide. Let him decide what he wants to do with the money. All right? Honor your parents. Buy them clothes. If you're working, honor them. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see that? Are you getting blessed? All right. This is good. We are not in the heart of it yet. I'm just scratching the surface. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Honor true widows. There are widows and there are true widows. That's what the Bible says. Amen. You say, how do you know true widows? Read the Bible. 1 Timothy 5. If you read from verse 3 downwards, honor widows that are widows indeed. So there are widows who are not widows indeed. Verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Widows that are widows indeed are widows who really, really lack help. Amen. Widows that, there are some widows that are very wealthy. They have to help other widows. See that? Now note what he says here. If you read on verse 5. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate. You see that? Let's all say desolate. Yeah, that's it. That's a true widow. And desolate, trusted in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. You see, a widow who lives in pleasure, who has sugar daddies, that's not a widow indeed. Hello? A widow who is not full of supplications and prayers, who does not take time. Now you don't have any husband to attend to. And now you can attend to the Lord in prayers, a lot of praying and all that. But 24 hours series, Vin movie, a widow, throughout, from morning to night. He says that's not a true widow. Don't waste your seed. Hello? A true widow, when you see her, she will prophesy. She's full of God. No husband anymore, so she's full of God. He says, bless such people, honor them. Even in church, if you want to minister to people, we minister to people that way. If we find out that you have sugar daddies around and sleeping around with men, if you want to remarry, remarry the right way. Amen? If you run around men, you know, just trying to get people to help you all around, you know, dishonoring your body, withdraw whatever it is that is coming in. It's scriptural to do that. The word of God says so. Amen? All right. You say, well, but church is not doing anything anymore. Church won't do anything. All right? Because you are turning from being a widow indeed to being a widow in pleasure. The Bible says you are dead while alive. That kind of widowhood is not good. Hallelujah. Number 4, honor your body. Why must you honor your body? Because it's the temple of God. You honor your body. Bathe your body regularly. All right, it's part of honoring your body. All right, because there are a lot of people who can cover a lot of things. Lord have mercy. If your life behind the scene were to be projected on the screen so everybody can see, what would they think of you? Wearing pants that are torn, underwear that are, because you are going to wear something on it, shows you do not honor your body. Not that you can't afford, you have to change that thing. Go and get another one and honor your body. Guys, boxers, 1 week you have not washed it. You come in with your shoes. The very moment you remove your shoes, the atmosphere changes. Your socks are like rotten pomo. Honor your body. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ladies, honor your body. You understand what I mean? I won't say more than that. It's the temple of God. So you start with, from the outside now, I'm talking from the outside now, cleanliness. That means you begin to clean your body, wash your body. For some of us, sincerely, we need to take our bath as frequently as twice a day. For some, three times, because of body odor. For some, they have body odor when they come in, all right? The whole atmosphere, all right? Why not take your bath twice and bathe your body twice a day? Sometimes thrice. And then go get yourself a good deodorant. It is not unholy to wear a good deodorant. They say, no, I don't want, my body's natural. It's just from God. And the natural aroma, I want to retain it. All right, if you really, really mean that, sincerely, remove your clothes and just be natural. Purely. See, don't deceive yourself. That's religion. Just want to be natural and all that. If you really want to be natural, just look like Eve in the garden. It's that simple. Just be natural that way and then move on. And say, this is not, I want to be natural. God forbid. All right? God has given us those things to bless us. All right? Wear a good perf. There's nothing wrong with it. And you see those things, body spray, some of these things are not really, really expensive. A bottle of Coke is how much? 70 naira. 70 times 3. 210. For some of you here, you take like 2-3 bottles of Coke per day. Yeah. And you can get deodorant as cheap as 250. Yeah. Body spray. And someone you know say, no, I don't want to start with that. I want to start with something. So must you smell before you get there? Start with the 250. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. Honor your body. Glory to God. Amen. You know, there are times some of us want to know whether a cloth is really, really dirty. You smell it. It's still okay. It's still okay. Your nostrils, all right, are not the litmus paper to test it. The first day, clothes, they are clothes that underwears one day, all right, is dirty. Wash it. And if you see people who, you know, who wear jeans all the time, all right, I don't mean they wear it once in a while. But all the time, it's just jeans. And if you see a lady like that, watch it. Get ready, all right? Just get ready. Prepare yourself. Brothers, prepare yourself. Glory to God. The Lord is your strength, amen. You will cope with some debt. Amen. And I don't mean once in a while, all the time. He said, I just like jeans. He said, I'm just smart when I wear jeans. The jeans that you can wear for 2 weeks without washing it. It's possible. 1 month without washing the jeans. And you just and then you see Okwiki outside doing like this. without knowing that. You are signing in for Obun. Lord have mercy. Amen. Glory to God. Honor your body. Clean your body. Perf up your body. Wash your clothes, your underwears. Amen. For brothers here, go and buy 6 boxers. Or 7. All right? And then use one, wash that one, take another one and wash. Not that you just wear it there. For some of us that are married, our wives should be saying, Toba chain kiri ko si show for lale. You know, sincerely, it should be like ko si show for nothing for you. I think that will encourage some people to say, ah! Make a lot change, show what I want. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Honor your body in holiness. Possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. The body is not for fornication. The body is for the Lord. Amen. Discern the Lord in your body. God dwells in your body. God dwells in your body. So if you bring in fornication, lust, and all those things into your body, you are dishonoring God. Because God's presence is on that body. Do you know the Christian body, the body of a Christian person, all right, a Christian, is different from the body of an unbeliever? Do you know that? Amen. Anatomically, they are the same. But spiritually, they are different. The body of the Christian is sanctified, is holy. The Holy Spirit does not live in the bodies of unbelievers, but it lives in the bodies of believers. And because the presence of God is on our body, don't forget what allocates honor, the presence of God. Your body is honorable because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So to fornicate is to dishonor God in your body. Praise the Lord. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You see that? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 13. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Touch any part of your body. Say, my body is for the Lord. Say it again. Say, my body is for the Lord. One more time. Say, my body is for the Lord. Yeah, not for fornication. No, don't touch it. You see, let me tell you something. I have never seen any fornicator that carries the anointing of God strong upon him or her. It's not possible. You have to honor the Lord in your body. And let me tell you something. Look up, everybody. There's no way God's honor will rest on a man because he honors the Lord and he will die cheaply. It's not possible. There are some things that you are exempted from naturally because the honor of God is on you. See, please keep that honor on you. Don't live a cheap life, a life without worth. Let that honor rest on you 24/7. There are some things that can't touch you with the honor of God on you. It's not possible. First Corinthians 6 and verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body, which is the temple of God. Now when you say, well, some people say, well, you see, fornication is not a sin against anybody. It's a sin against your body. So you see, well, it's not really wrong to sin against your body. Because you see, at least it's your body. But don't forget that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So sinning against your body is sinning against the temple of the Holy Ghost. So if Jesus were to enter into your temple, what would Jesus do? He would take a whip. Amen. Say it with your mouth. Say, my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. See, there's no such thing as we're sinning against your body and not sinning against God. That's what some people prove. It says fornication is sinning against your body. It's not a sin against God. But you see, God is connected to your body. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's no way you can sin against your body without sinning against the temple of God. And there's no way you can sin against the temple of God without sinning against God. So honoring God in your body is keeping, possessing your body in sanctification and honor. Keep that body. Amen. Keep that body. I remember there was a brother who wanted to defile his fiancée. And then he was really up and wanted to do it. And then she said to him, let's go take permission from God. If he allows us to do it, we'll do it. And the brother sat down. Oh, there was straight permission from God. He said, okay, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. Amen. Listen to this. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not his girlfriend. And himself and his wife shall become what? One flesh there means sexual intercourse. 1 Corinthians 6, we start reading from verse 17 downwards. 16, 17 downwards. Say, what? Know ye not that he who is joined to an harlot is one flesh? For two, he saith, shall become one flesh. So what's joining yourself to an harlot? What does it mean? Tying a rope to yourself and then tie yourself to a harlot? Is that what the Bible is talking about? No. Sexual intercourse. So becoming one flesh is what? Sexual intercourse. For this reason, a man, not a boy. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not his girlfriend. To his wife, not his fiancée. And then the two shall become one flesh. So until you marry, you don't become one flesh under God. All right? If you do that to become one flesh with another person outside the confines of marriage, that is contrary to your own body. You will be sick. It's one way to kill your body before the body naturally dies. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of us got that? And then honoring your body, eat good food. You walk the body to earn some money, and then you feed the body with junks. All right? That's not fair on the body. All right? You drive the horse. And then the horse comes back without any hay to feed on. That's not good. Use your car without any servicing. That's not good. When you use your body that way, learn to rest. Learn to feed well. Eat good food. And let me tell you something. Good food, all right, in this country, is not expensive. But the very terrible ones are very expensive. All right, it's rice that is full of curry and then all sorts of spices. Then you go to your backyard there, You can get some fresh vegetables. All right? And then get pepper. You know, 30, 40 naira or 50 naira. And then get iru. Amen. Praise God. And then you can get smoked fish. Not sardine. You know, sardine and smoked, some of them more expensive than. You get smoked fish. And then you put the thing there. And you can prepare yourself amala, eba, semo or something. And then you enjoy yourself. At most, 250, 300. But if you want to eat yourself to death, you will need at least 1,500. And then you see the person can't breathe. Two steps up the stair. That's a wealthy man for you. Very rich, can afford all the toxins. Eat good food. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
Ladies that don't cook, repent. Cook. There's something about cooking that is different from what has been cooked. I don't mean you will not buy things from outside, but learn to cook fresh things. Fresh. Praise the Lord. And then if you see someone eating fresh vegetable like that, all right, ugu, water, leaf, and what have you, you know, and you have someone eating something like that, people will say, that person is not rich. He's not wealthy. Tap your neighbor, say, don't compare yourself with anybody. You are healthy. You are wealthy. You're blessed. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Number five, honor your spouse. Honor your spouse. Amen. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Giving honor unto the wife. Amen. If you want to know how reasonable and how honorable a man he is, look at how he treats his wife. Amen. Not lip service, though. Treating your wife in honor. The Bible says to deal with them according to knowledge, according them the honor that is due them. And then he went on to say that your prayers be not hindered. So the way you treat your spouse can affect your prayer life. And so we see the reason why a lot of men don't have answers to prayers. Amen. Treat your wife with dignity. If you have to rebuke your wife or correct your wife, not before people. Because covenant is a secret thing. And the rights of covenant are secret. If you want to sleep with your wife, you don't sleep with your wife in public. You know how to pet her inside and talk to her softly. The same way you talk to your wife. All right? You may be quiet and then take your wife in and say, darling, don't talk that way anymore. It's not good. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Let's not say knowledge. The word knowledge there is not spiritual knowledge. It's the knowledge of difference. Let's not say knowledge of difference. When it comes to dressing up, women are slower than men. True or false? Because they are different.
So if you get to a point that way, buy, believe God for two cars. If you have an assignment in church, amen, train your wife to drive. Amen. And she will come and meet you. Praise God. You don't say, well, the Bible says to dwell with them according to knowledge. If you finish 11 a.m., that's when we'll go to church. You don't honor God. Your wife is an idol. No. For some of you, you have to wake them up as early as possible. And one way to do that, all right, is when you wake up, you wake them up. You know that they will bath for the kids and all that. Whatever it is you can help out with, help out with. If an appointment is for 8 o'clock, tell her 7 o'clock, we must be ready. There will be an overflow. You are not lying. You are not saying that it's 7 o'clock, we must be ready. There will be an overflow. Sincerely, they are very faithful at it. There will be an overflow. Praise God. They are so blessed that they are very faithful at it. There must be an overflow. Alright, Pussy, so don't mind. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Don't lose your temper because of it. Because if you come with that temper to God that way, God will say, go and cool off before you talk to me. Cool off. You're angry. There was a man that was praying with his wife. Alright. They fought in the morning. They disagreed. So in the evening, they needed to pray. So said, shall we pray? He closed his eyes. The wife did not close her eyes. Alright. Would you close your eyes? Don't you know we are honoring God? Father, in Jesus' name. You're not even saying amen. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Dwell with your wife. When we just first got married, we had a lot of issues because I would do things at my pace. And then we had a lot of quarrels. All right. Why you? Oh, God. Oh, Lord. God Almighty. And then, see, we just be looking at me. And then it got to a time I had to sit down and say, look, we are different. And that's why it is marriage. Because we are different. Praise God. You know, in my car, I like my car being very neat, everything. I like my things that way. All right, she will put one thing there. Is it what they used to? She will put it in the dust. And I said, oh, the mirror will come down. I said, no, put the mirror up. But now, I don't mind, you know. Praise God. Amen. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. See that? Wives should submit themselves to their own husbands. Honor your husband. Honor your husband. Now, how do you honor your husband? Let me tell you this. Look up, everybody. For those who are wives here and wives to be, if you are not ready for marriage, don't enter into it. For those who are wives to be. Because you have to count the cost. Your body is not your own anymore the very day you get married. It becomes your husband's. And then your husband's becomes yours. That means there is no woman under God that has a right to be prescribing that this is when I want to have something to do with you. All right? And this other time I don't have your time. All right? That's not a godly woman. A godly woman surrenders her body Because you see, as much as men know that women are different in the way they do things, men are different too. Because I've noticed this, sometimes women are kind of selfish when it comes to relationship. They want to let it be around them and you centered on them, which is wrong. Amen? Now let me give you an instance. The color of the sitting room must be around the woman, the kitchen, the clothes, the color of the clothes the man wears, all right? And then love must be all about the woman, when she wants it, how she wants it. So the man is the one doing all the giving and all the giving and all the giving, and then the woman is enjoying the receiving. It is not good. Amen? Maybe during GCF I'll teach this. Amen? It may not be relevant, you know, some people here. But let me say this in passing. When a man wants satisfaction at a time, all right, he wants it at that time. For the woman, she has to be brought up to that point of receiving that satisfaction. All right? But there are times that you don't have so much time to do all the meddling and petting and all those things. Amen? So the woman must understand difference too. You don't put a checkbook beside you, your husband's checkbook beside you, all right? And then when it's time that you are together on the bed, you now say, you will sign this check before, or else there's no show for you. That is a witch. That's witchcraft. Don't do that. If he wants to give you money, let him give you money of his own will. If you're inducing him to give you money, you are manipulating him. That's witchcraft. It's one of the works of the flesh. Amen. I believe you got that, huh? For some people, you have to put it in your mailbox until you need it. Amen. Glory to God, hallelujah. All right. You know, we said exchange is the communication of honor, right? Good. And we said there's no true honor without an exchange of value substance of the same significance. Now, there's this point I want to raise here, and then we enter into the main thing we have to consider, then we close. Amen? Hallelujah. Honor is transferable. Let's all say, honor is transferable. Yeah, it is transferable. There's such a thing as the transferal of honor. That is, honor can be delegated by authoritative delegation. Now look up, please. This is how I know anybody in church who truly honors us. If you don't honor the associate pastors, rise to your feet, please. All the associate pastors. If you don't place honor on them, you don't honor us. I don't care who you are. And you say, well, me, I don't deal with all those associate pastors. I deal with the set man directly. It shows you do not honor the set man. And you see, we must not be deceived that, okay, someone says, well, he honors us. Ah, Pastor Gwan, Pastor Funga, you are my pastors. You alone. You know what that person is saying? That person is saying that you are not our pastors. Because there's no way you can honor us indeed without honoring the associate pastors. Because they are an extension of us. If you indeed honor the Father, you will honor the Son. If you despise the Son, you despise the Father. Praise God. If I truly, truly honor you, sir, I will honor your wife. If I despise your wife, I do not honor you. It's that simple. Honor is transferable. Whatever is connected to me carries my honor. Everything that is connected to me carries my honor. Whatever is connected to God, associated with God, carries God's honor. Praise God. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. If you don't honor the associate pastors, you have despised us. If you despise my wife, you have despised me. Honor is transferable. Say it with your mouth. Say, honor is transferable. One more time. Say, honor is transferable. John chapter 5 and verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. You see that? Why did he do that? That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. That's why he committed all things to the Son. All judgment. So that the people may honor the Son as much as they honor the Father. Glory to God. That's the transfer of honor. See that? So if anybody dishonors my wife, he's dishonored me. Dishonor the associate pastors, you have dishonored me. If they give an instruction and say, we are going to do this, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that, and I find out you have dishonored me. Amen? That's what it means. That's what it means. And because you have dishonored me by dishonoring them, you have dishonored God, who honored me and honored them to place us in this position. Praise the Lord. Amen. I said amen. Amen. To live in honor is a choice. It's a very, very, very sensitive decision, choice you have to make. To live in honor is a choice. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you start reading from verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. See that? If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. See that? Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with all that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient. Hallelujah. See that? It's a decision you make to live in honor. That means for you to live in honor, you must purge yourselves of every kind of dishonor. Let me give you an instance. As a pastor, it is wrong for you to be going from the house, one house, to another of the church members begging for alms. It's dishonorable. Hello? It's not good. Go visit them, care for them, bless them. If they bless you with things, receive and bless them. Hallelujah. To be holding special vigils for the wealthy ones in church because of the envelope that will come thereafter is dishonorable. To go to a church member's business outfit and say, I like that dress. Those pair of shoes, I like them. I wish I had money. You know, I used to be very, very wealthy. God called me into the ministry and everything just went, phew. What are you saying? Huh? Let someone say that's dishonorable. No, don't do that. Don't do that. To lie in the name of God to collect money from somebody without any intention of paying back is dishonorable. Don't do that. Hello? You have to purge yourselves of dishonorable things. You know, I told you, familiarity is what? Is dishonor. What else is dishonor? Despise is dishonor. What else is dishonor? Abuse is dishonor. Hypocrisy is what? What else is dishonor? You see that? It's dishonor. Don't do that. Amen? I said amen. Walk in honor, walk in dignity. Can someone say amen to that? For you to go visit your fiance or fiancee, and then early in the morning, you slept in the same room, and early in the morning, you came out with a wrapper on, and then you came to the doorstep brushing your teeth there. All right? That's dishonor. Why should you sleep in the same room to start with? No, we didn't do anything. God is our witness. All right? You see, let me tell you something. There are some things that must not be around you at all. It's dishonorable. Amen? It's dishonorable to be with a lady in the dark and you're stretching your hand to touch some questionable places in the dark. It's dishonorable. The hand that you lift unto God. Is dishonorable. Don't do. You see, there are things that you deliberately don't let them come near you at all. All right? A young lady, the age of your daughter, pulling your mustache. You see? Onfin rumu en shere. A young lady, the age of your daughter. That is dishonorable. Amen? Say with your mouth, say, it is dishonorable. Yeah, it's not right. It's wrong. It's wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen? How many of us got that? Now, one more point, and then we enter into the heart of it. If you leave now, you have missed the whole message. Amen. And that's how I teach. All right? I'm like Jesus. You let people drink the wine that is not good. And when they are drunk, you now make turn water to wine. Amen. Very sweet wine. Reserve the best for the last. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Honor is not to be seized. You don't seize honor. Honor is both to be perceived and received. It's both to be perceived and received. Don't seize honor. Never do that. Please never do that. Do not seize honor. Don't demand for honor. Command honor. Hebrews 5 and verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. You see that? He did not seize the honor. God called him and placed that honor on him. Honor is to be perceived and received, not to be seized. Don't seize honor. Second Peter 1 and verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. You see that? He received from God the Father. He received that honor. He did not seize it. He received it. Because the Father gave it to him. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You see that? And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Hallelujah.
Revelations 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy to receive, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. He's to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. See that? You are worthy to receive it. Even God himself receives honor. He does not seize it. We have to give it to him of our own will because of our correct perception of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, the heart of the message now. How do you recognize honor? Amen. How do you recognize honor? How? How to recognize honor? Number one, by identity. Anywhere you enter into, you come into a church, an organization, a family, a place, ask yourself, who is the leader here? Who is the head in this place? Who am I accountable to? Who do I follow? Identity. Because God is God, he's worthy to receive honor. Because your husband is your husband, he's worthy to receive honor. Because your wife is your wife, she's worthy to receive honor. Identity. Who is this person to me? Not just one of the ladies on the street, my wife. Who is this man to me? Not just one of the men around, my husband. When you discern correctly identity, you can perceive honor. Hallelujah. You can perceive honor. Who is Pastor Shego? He's a pastor. Amen. Pastor Shegun, by the grace of God, is more than a pastor. He's a covering over GLT. And he has a cover over him. And he has a cover over him, Christ Jesus. You see that? So ask yourself, who is this person to you? That's how to perceive honor. Right? When your dad is saying something to you, that look, I don't like the thing that you are doing, you have to change another. And there's something standing up from within you to talk back and say, don't. You just ask yourself, who is the person talking to me to start with? My father. Ah, Lord, I thank you for patience and long suffering. Amen. Let's answer identity. Say it again, say identity. When you study God's word and God says to do something, it's not just the instruction that matters. Who said it? Who gave that instruction? Identity. You can perceive honor when you know who is who. Amen. Number two, how do you perceive or recognize honor? Purpose. 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 By purpose. That means look at the design of that thing, the purpose attached to that thing. The honor of salt is in its sweetening power. If you use it to rub your body, it will not deliver to you its honor. Right? Purpose. What does that mean? It means ask yourself, why am I here? Why am I in Ife? Why am I in GLT? What am I doing here? Why did God call me to serve in this ministry? You see, if you don't understand purpose, you will never recognize honor. Because honor is hidden in purpose. Honor is hidden in purpose. Why are you serving God? Why are you giving your offering? Why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you doing ministry? Why are you into business? Don't forget, abuse is dishonor. And abuse is ignorance of purpose. If you lack good sense of purpose, you will abuse whatever it is. You don't understand its purpose. And then you will dishonor that thing. What purpose is your wife serving in your life? There are some men, they get to a point, they feel they don't need their wives anymore. Yeah. They run their lives alone. No counsel from their wives. They don't want to take counsels from their wives anymore because they feel they can run their lives alone. They are going to dishonor their wives because they have lost sight of purpose. Why is my wife my wife? Why did God bless me with this woman and not that woman? What is it that she has that they don't have? What is it that God has packaged in her? Very peculiar to her and different from every other woman around town. Purpose. Number three. Calling or assignment. You can recognize, perceive honor by calling or assignment. Amen. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. But if you don't know that that's a prophet and you don't know his calling and you don't know his assignment, you will not be able to receive him the way you ought to receive him. And then he goes away with his benefits that ought to be delivered to you. Calling. Calling. What is my calling? You see, you will abuse your life and your privileges if you lose sight of your calling, your assignment in life. What is it that God has called you to do? If God has called you to do something, stick to it. Do what God has called you to do. If you get busy with many other things, you are abusing your life, your privileges. You are not honoring yourself. What is the place of your pastor in your life? What is the calling of your pastor to you? What is the assignment God has given your pastor to you? Why did God raise him up? Why did God position him over you? These are basic questions you must ask yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. Calling. Assignment. Number four. You can recognize honor by association. By association. Amen? Who is this person associated with? Or what is it that he's associated to? Company. Association. Praise God. Company. Association. If you see a man who is associated with a prophet, all right, do not undermine that man. There's something prophetic about him. If you see a man who is associated with GLT, don't undermine that man. There's something new creation about him. If you see a man that is associated with an apostle, don't undermine that man. There's something apostolic about him. Saul, the son of Kish, the first king of Israel, found himself in the midst of prophets, and by association he began to prophesy. And then someone said, is Saul also among the prophets? Who is his father? Who is his father? Amen. If a woman offends you on the street, before you raise your hand to touch that woman, ask yourself, whose wife is this woman? Because you may be touching someone that will keep in a place untouched forever. Association. Amen? I said amen? Yeah. There are some people, they don't have natural power and privileges in the flesh, so to speak. But they can pray. They don't know the governor. They don't know senators, but they can pray. And when you touch such people and you're trying to take from them their legitimate privileges, all right, they can turn to God and say, Lord, association. Who is that person in connection with? What is that person in connection to? That would tell you that that person is a no-go area. Amen? I said amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. Something happened one day. A policeman, you know, at a junction, officiating there. And then Pastor E. Adeboye, then long time before now, you know, was driving and then a car came, hit him. All right, the car was at fault. The driver was at fault, rather. And then the policeman came and recognized that the driver was the driver of one top shot in the society. Amen. And then now said, Pastor E. Adeboye was at fault because of that. Amen. And then he said, are you sure? Are you sure that's your final decision? He said, eh? What did you say? Because I want to talk to my God. I said, are you a pastor? He said, yes, I'm a pastor. I will talk to my God. All right? He will judge between us. And then the man changed his mind and said, actually, what I meant was, I was just saying that sometimes we have to be careful how we drive. He changed his mind in a hurry. Because you don't just downsize a man by himself, alone, apart from his company. When they persecuted the early believers, the Bible says they came into their company and they prayed. All right, so check out who and who are in that company, the company of that man. Then you can know that, look, this man is honorable. Amen. Praise God. Association. Company. Number five, by precedence. You can discern honor by precedence. Let's all say precedence. Okay? Who came on the scene first? Who is the leader here? Precedence. Now, Jesus is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega. By precedence, is God honor. He came on the scene first, ever before the world was created, ever before things were made. He came on the scene first. Precedence. Please don't despise precedence. Even Paul the apostle recognized those that got born again before him. Let's not say precedence. Say it again. Say precedence. Good. And that's why, you see, people who are older than you, all right, they may not be as wise as you, all right? But you just honor them, number one, because they're made in the image of God. Number two, precedence. Praise the Lord. Precedence. There are times you are in a bus, sincerely, and you see an old woman standing beside you. Don't say, no, we both paid the same transport fare. We have the same right to you know, I can't sacrifice my right for it. Precedence says, look, this is an aged person. Why not say, can you sit down and let me stand up? That's honor. Let someone say honor. Say it again, say honor. Yeah, precedence. precedent.
You see, in the academia, you understand that no matter how much you rise, you still get to a place that there will be a bar. And every other person will rise too and meet you there. There are very old professors and there are young ones. But all of them are professors, right? But if an old professor, though you are more traveled, you have more privileges, more grants, and then he says, can I see you? I'm very busy now. You have to come to my office. After all, we are both profs. Let's not say precedence. Prof, sir, let me come, sir. And that's why, you see, it's very good for you to understand that I have seen that as a senior colleague, if you oppress other people under you, in no time they will come up too. All right? After being a consultant, what else can you be? Eh? Consultant. All right? If you become a consultant, all right, that's the peak. You see, the students you taught, they will become consultants too. They may be more traveled, more exposed than you. And they may have privileges to call you and say, Oga, I think you can take up this. Can you handle it? It's a grant. It's one of my grants. I feel I'm too busy and it's just 20 million. And if that man had oppressed the younger one some years back, he would feel very guilty, right? Well, you see, never despise those who have gone ahead of you. Even in situations whereby God has lifted you and you have come to that place and you are at par with them, never despise them. Recognize precedence. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. You can discern honor following the law precedence. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. These things I'm sharing with you, I didn't learn them from anywhere. I received them by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord spoke to me and taught me. All right. I'm not reading a book from one book to you. Amen. I just heard the thought of someone, so I replied. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Number 6. By responsibility. By responsibility. Amen. Look for people who are responsible. They are honorable people. Don't ever despise the responsible. Alright? You see, if there's any honor in this household, the first set of people that will give the honor to, apart from the associate pastors, are the stewards. Are you listening to me? Hello? Yeah. There's any honor at all. Because there are people who are making things happen in this house. Teaching young converts, following them up, we must honor them. We must hold them in high esteem. Let's answer responsibility. Don't ever despise or dishonor those who are responsible. People who labor over people in prayer, who run around to make things happen, you don't despise them. Amen? You hold them in high esteem. Those who are ruling diligently, leading cheerfully. You look at the choir, all right? There are people who make things happen. While there are some other people who come in to enjoy those things, all right? They are blessed. But those who are making things happen are more blessed. For it's more blessed to give than to receive. So by responsibility, design honor. If you see someone who is laboring, all right? A man who goes out, he walks, and then he puts down money, all right? The wife eats all the best of the meat and all that, and then reserves the bones for the one who walked at. Lord have mercy. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Recognize responsibility. Parents who have labored over you,
who have labored and labored, spent on you time and affection and all their energy burnt on you to become who you are, no matter what they do, sometimes they may sound very stupid to you, still honor them by responsibility. Never despise responsibility. Can someone say amen to that? You can recognize honor by responsibility. Who is responsible for who? Who is responsible for what? Glory to God. I said glory to God. Number 7. By preeminence. Authority. Preeminence. Authority. You recognize honor. By preeminence. Authority. Amen. I want to beseech you by the mercies of God, do not talk ill of dignitaries. Do not talk ill of dignitaries. Please don't do it. All right? Many of us do not know what it means to lead because we feel the leaders are sick and there's something wrong with them. Until you get there and you feel what they bear, what they carry, and that's when you say, ah. Because you see, it's so easy to look afar off and see somebody else's shoes and say, look at those tiny shoes. Very tiny shoes. Until you come very close and put your legs in those shoes and say, ah, these shoes are big old. Amen. I remember when I was pastoring then. All right? The person that was to take over then was looking at me as though, ah, because I was doing things with so much ease. You know, said, ah, there's nothing there. It's not pastoring. Is it not pastoring? So when I left the scene, I left him. I didn't say anything. When I left the scene and then he came in, 2 weeks into becoming a pastor, he ran to me. He said, you tried though. I said, really? Amen. Let's all say authority. The best way to respond to your leaders is not to criticize them, is to pray for them. Because leaders go through a lot. I tell you the truth. Are you listening to me? Leaders go through a lot. Things that cannot be uttered. Things that are too much for words. Burdens in the middle of the night that they have to roll on the Lord. Praying. So if you see a man of authority, even if it's positional authority, please, I beseech you by the mercies of God, honor that person. Because God has placed honor upon him. Authority. You know, it's so easy to criticize Good Luck Jonathan, right? Right? Even the people whose GPAs are less than 2. It's so easy to criticize Good Luck Jonathan, right? You are the one leading in your GPA and it's less than 2. All right? It's so easy to say, come on, all right? If we bring it down to you, you'll be humble. It's so easy to criticize him on our financial matters. You can't account for the money you receive monthly and how you spend it. Huh? But you can open your mouth. Alright? It's so easy. It's so easy to criticize the choir until they give you the mic. And then you begin to sing with a bunch of keys. It's so easy. Praise God. The best way to respond to authority is to pray for them. Yes, they are not perfect. Yes, they make mistakes. But listen very carefully. Who amongst us here is perfect? Who is the perfect one who can really lead Nigeria? Bola Ige said it then. All right, before I became minister, power? Yeah. Amen. That he was going to change the situation in Nigeria. He was going to do it in less than 2 or 3 months. He got in there. He had to resign. I know there are people who, you see, people can discuss Nigeria and give you a master plan on how to transform Nigeria. All right? In a book. Or I give them that book and say, okay, this is the manual. Oh yeah, go and read and begin to do. When you see some people who know nothing other than frustrating others. And there are some, they are sycophants. Alright? They'll push you like this, and that's the way and all that. And then before you look back like this, they have disappeared. That's Nigeria for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Honor men of authority. Can someone say amen to that? The Bible says to honor all men, all right, and then honor the king. Those who are in authority, honor them. Honor them. Praise God. I said praise the Lord. You see, the VC of OAU, honor him. Your HOD, honor him, honor her. Your dean, they're working. Amen? Praise God. We have a head of a department here, all right, in church, Dr. Bamtale. Sir, you know how easy it is to be the head. Sometimes you come home and you are not good for yourself, you are not good for your wife. You're only good for bed. You just crash and sleep. That's being the head. Amen. Whereas someone can come and say, we don't know what he's doing. What is he doing? And then when the person gets there, now sees it all and say, that guy really tried. Amen. Lift up your two hands towards heaven. Say these words after me. In the name of Jesus, I will live in honor. I choose honor all the days of my life. I will not walk in dishonor because I have been redeemed from dishonor. I renew my mind to honor and walking in honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. The last point I want to give you, all right, is this. How do you recognize honor? You recognize honor by discernment or discerning. Amen? Perception. And I'm going to dwell on these for just 5-7 minutes and then we'll start praying. Let's all say perception. Now, perception is the awareness of truth. From the inside, an inward awareness of truth. You see, truth is not relative, truth is absolute. If you get something that is a fact, it is a fact in Nigeria that Jonathan is our president. But in the United States, it's not true that Jonathan is their president. Amen? Who is their president over there? Barack Obama. See that? You see, there's no way you can perceive a thing and that thing is not the truth. If it is perception that is capturing that knowledge, it is the truth. Did you get that? It's the truth. Praise God. It's the truth. I want to show you something here. It will really, 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 really bless you. Hallelujah. Now look at the Apostle Peter. He had perception. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8 and verse 23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. You see that? Now how did he know that that man was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity? He was there, but you see, naturally, physically, he couldn't be seen in those things. But Peter perceived that he was in the gall of bitterness. Now, how did Peter know that? He knew from an inward prompting, inward witness, inward knowledge, inward awareness of truth. That's perception. Praise the Lord. The same Peter, Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He perceived. Of a truth. Notice this, of a truth. The Apostle Paul, in Acts of the Apostles 17 and verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. All right? He was not one of them. But being around them, he perceived there was an awareness of truth from the inside, that those men of Athens were too superstitious. He perceived. Amen? Acts 28:26, the same Apostle Paul, saying, go unto these people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. And those are people who are outside Christ, whose spirits have not been born again. Amen? They can see, but they will not perceive. It's very hard for them to recognize truth because they don't have perception. How can a man recognize truth without perception? Is it possible? Because truth is not sensual. Truth is spiritual. If you are here, shout hallelujah. I said, if you are here, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You see that? Look at the Apostle John. His perception is working here. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. You see, the love of God can be perceived. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, people don't perceive this thing. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It takes perception to perceive that. Because he laid down his lives for us, we ought to enjoy. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's fine. But it takes perception to perceive the love of God, that we ought to do likewise unto others. See that? Let's not say perception. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 8, verse 46, and Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. You see that? He perceived it. In John 4, the Samaritan woman at the well, she perceived that Jesus was a prophet. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Perception. Well, she received word of knowledge, so that helped her perception. Praise God. All right, but you see, deep down on the inside, the Holy Spirit can help our perception. All right? We have the Spirit of God in us that can bear witness with our spirit and reveal the truth to us. Can someone say amen to that? It takes perception to recognize honor. Honor, discernment, perception, perception. How do you build perception? All right? Perception is of the spirit, is of the spirit of man. It's a quality. It's one of the characteristics of the spirit of man. It's the ability of the spirit of man. It's not the ability of the mind. The mind can analyze. The mind can project. The mind cannot perceive. The body can sense, the body can feel, but the body cannot perceive. Perception of truth is of the spirit. So when the spirit of man is well developed, then perception will increase. So I can develop perception by developing my spirit. How do you do that? Number one, feed your spirit with God's word. Meditate on God's word. Number two, engage your spirit regularly. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. As innocent as your spirit is in Christ, the born-again spirit in Christ, as good as your spirit is in Christ, his intuitive intelligence is a function of how much word is in that spirit. Your spirit cannot be wiser than the word of God in it. And that's why you have to feed your spirit with God's word. It will heighten your intuitive intelligence. You can discern with ease. And then take time to pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. He who prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prayeth, though his understanding is fruitless. But his spirit prays. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. Amen. Number three, company with people who are discerning. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise shall be wise, but the companions of fools shall be destroyed. Company with people who are intuitive. People who have intuitive intelligence. People who are discerning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Company with them. Company with them. Company with them. Glory to God. I said glory to God. From this day forward, I pray for you by this word of God that has been coming into your spirit again and again and again. You walk in honor all the rest of your life in the name of Jesus. I declare that in this company, there is no dishonorable person in the name of Jesus. I declare that in this company, there is no dishonorable one in the name of Jesus. I declare that under this cloud of glory, there is no dishonorable one in the name of Jesus. Now rise to your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I want you to begin to pray right now. You see, if you have to deal with dishonorable things, those things had come to mind while the word of God was going on. Please right now begin to deal with them in the name of Jesus. You walk out of dishonor. You retrain to honor in the name of Jesus. Your mind is inclined to honor in the name of Jesus. For some of you, begin to declare in the name of Jesus, I move up the ladder of honor. I move up the ladder of honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will walk in honor all the days of my life. I will not dishonor what God has honored.
We know you've been blessed by this message. For further information and details on how to be a partner, please contact Shego Badger Teaching Ministries on +234 7066 453122 or +234 8060100093. Stay blessed.